I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Malcolm Honlein, and we welcome Benham Bentalibu, research fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to help us understand the mystery of the Tehran regime, making threats routinely in all areas of its conflict, especially against the people of Israel. This is routine for Iran, and yet, Benham, after the last Israeli round in which it was demonstrated that the IAF can range over Iran entirely and destroy what it wills, there was a report that Iran said enough. That's enough. It's the end of it. And then last week, the Ayatollah spoke again, saying there will be more. We will come back. We will raid again. At the same time, I learned from a colleague that the IAF is quite capable of a preemptive strike if they believe that Iran is getting ready for a ballistic missile barrage worse than or the same as the earlier strike in October. What do you know about whether this is big talk, trash talk from Iran, or whether they're preparing for another strike? Good evening to you, Benham.
Very good evening to you, John. Pleasure to be with you again. Listen, this is an Ayatollah who means what he says. He certainly has a ultra-hardline constituency, not in the people, but in the regime that he has helped create, preserve, and protect. After all, this is one person whose title is meant to be taken rather literally, supreme leader. And indeed, he sits atop this apex, this apparatus, repression at home and aggression abroad. And Khamenei himself was the one who inched the regime along and followed a whole host of hardline commentary that first tried to downplay the success of Israel's military retaliation against Iran's ballistic missile barrage, and then began to hedge about it, then talked about, you know, neither maximizing nor minimizing the strike, said officials will respond as they will, and now he's owning the response. So there could be a response coming from Iran directly. There still are plenty, unfortunately, of munitions that the Islamic Republic has not used against Israel that could reach Israel if fired from Iranian territory. And then there's always the multi-front proxy threat, which, as we've seen from October 7th to present, really is more a measure of volume than anything else. And let's forget, while many have focused on the threat that could come to Israel from Iraq, 6 years ago, Iran moved short-range ballistic missiles into Iraq. And many, but not all of those projectiles are capable of reaching Israel. So Khamenei seems to be setting the scene for a potential retaliation, while also doing one more thing that actually, if is made true, would make any retaliation seem like noise, and that is the atomic infrastructure in that country. In the month of October alone, we've had the supreme leader twice, the parliament three times, a military official one time, two supreme leader advisors twice, and a newspaper tied to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps three times talk about Iran changing its nuclear doctrine or weaponizing its atomic infrastructure. These are game-changing events day to day in the discourse in Tehran about how to use its nuclear program to make up for the conventional deterrence deficits it has right now vis-a-vis Israel.
Malcolm?
So one of the things that has gotten almost no attention are the increasing number of executions that have been taking place in recent months, record numbers, dozens in a single day, and in a month, many more. Iran is the leading executor of people in the world, we know, but this seems to be a stepped-up effort. Is this to intimidate the domestic population, and in particular, the execution of a young Jewish man, falsely accused, with a court ready to consider appeal and the government intervening? Do you see this as a pattern? Do you see this as an effort to keep the minority populations down and resistance to be contained?
Unfortunately, I do, and there is a precedent for this in the Islamic Republic. When appearing weak at home, feign strength abroad, and vice versa, and the bloodied nose the regime got from the successful Israeli military strike one of the reasons for the initial rush to downplay the attack was to dampen that social mood that existed in Iran, which is to use every single thing as an on-ramp for protest and pressure by the streets, by society against the state. You see that clearly in the way the regime now is weaponizing court cases, whether that was Jamshid Sharmad's case or the young case of this poor Iranian Jewish man, young boy, I should say, actually, who were caught in the middle of this. And I think this gruesome execution streak you've seen the regime be on with record highs in the month of October alone are really designed to deter and inspire fear and intimidation in the Iranian public to not rise up and to not be able to have a policy or to make sense of the rising tensions between Iran and Israel and to use that as part of their larger story of contesting the state. And this is unfortunately a tried and true tactic, not just from the Islamic Republic at home, but from many authoritarian regimes at home. And as expected and as predicted, it's the Iranian people who suffer.
Benham, maximum pressure was the name of what the Trump administration did in its first term on Iran. We can speculate. Is it going to be effective the second time? Maximum pressure.
It depends a great deal on if they complement maximum pressure with a follow-on policy of maximum support and they bolster military deterrence. There were lots of macroeconomic successes for maximum pressure, namely the ability to inflict massive economic damage unilaterally and more than what it took a decade of multilateral sanctions to do. On the home front, however, we are faced with a rise of anti-regime protests which there were taboos around that the Trump administration broke and slaughtered sacred cows on and proved to the world that supporting the Iranian people is not the kiss of death. But maximum pressure has to feed into a larger strategy. It's an effective handicapping policy. It can put the regime in a holding pattern. But the more effective, ironically, maximum pressure is, the more likely the regime is going to swing back. And as we saw in 2019, even to 2020, Trump administration was unfortunately caught flat-footed on this. So a key to making maximum pressure more successful is to A, find the economic avenues that allow the regime to generate revenue in the past, both under Trump and much more so under Biden, and suffocate those. Those include petrochemical. Those include non-dollar denominated trade. Those include bartering. Those include regional trade. And again, suffocate those and nest the Iran sanctions issue into its larger geostrategic competition against China. That is number one. Number two is to develop that maximum support policy to stand with the Iranian people in practice and not just in principle, get them the tools they need to communicate with one another. And then number three is to actually make sure that there is a credible military deterrent on the table that boxes the regime in, and that when push comes to shove, the Iranians don't say that which they said after January 2020. And that was, America may be more capable, but we are more resolute.
A quick question about Russia and Iran, suggesting a growing alliance. Is this serious? Is this just temporary? Is it strategic? How do you anticipate this?
At a certain point of time, Russia may have been looking for a girlfriend where the Islamic Republic was looking for a wife. That's the old phrase. But the Ukraine war has changed everything. And at a minimum, so long as that war is raging, this will be a dangerous and destabilizing alliance. Unless we be spoiled by the definition of an alliance post-World War II, it's not two states that look alike. It's two states, it's two actors that are merely shooting in the same direction at the same time. And as we see now, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, the baseline is a shared animosity towards America and the world order it creates.
Benham Bentalibu, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Malcolm Honlein.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.